So once again, welcome everyone.
再一次的欢迎大家。
And today we are very blessed to be able to listen to God's word again.
那今天我们也很蒙福可以再次听到神的话语。
And we are continuing our series on Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew.
那么我们会继续来看马太福音的系列。
And today we've come to the second temptation of Jesus.
那今天我们就来到耶稣遇到第二个试探。
And it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4.
那是记载在马太福音的第四章。
So today's message concerning the temptation of Jesus, is going to focus on the second episode when Satan was trying to tempt Jesus.
那今天我们来看的内容就会关于，魔鬼撒旦他的对耶稣基督的第二个试探。
But we saw last week that the devil tried to tempt Jesus by appealing to his immediate need.
那上一周我们看到，撒旦，对耶稣的试探是去用他，就是，现在所急需的事情去试探耶稣。
What was his immediate need at that time?
那当时候耶稣他，真正需要的是什么呢？
It was his hunger that needs to be filled after fasting 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness.
那在经过40天的禁食之后呢，耶稣是饿，他是饿的。
So we can see that Satan, the devil, actually tactfully chose a time when Jesus' hunger was greatest and when his resistance was lowest.
所以撒旦很狡猾的就选了这一段时间，当耶稣他是饿的时候，那他对这些饥饿的抗拒是最低的时候去试探耶稣。
And this temptation targets at what appears to be perfectly legitimate physical needs or some desires.
那这个试探的内容就是用一些合理的要求，需求，去试探耶稣。
So that Jesus may put them above his spiritual needs.
那好使耶稣落在这个试探里面的时候，就将这些，看为合理的需求去摆在他属灵的需要之上。
That means it will be above the will and guidance of God, of course.
也意味着他将，这些 肉身的需要放在神的旨意还有神的引导之上。
But Jesus was determined not to resort to his own means or without God's approval to exercise his God-given authority and power to turn stones into bread for himself.
但是我们看到耶稣基督他就立下决心，不滥用神所赐给他的权柄，而不会去被这个，身体的合理的需要所主导。
He has not allowed the flesh to get the better of him, or to exercise. Instead, he exercised full control over his body.
那主耶稣他就，能够去完全的控制他的身体的这些的欲望，不让这个身体去控制他。
But how often do we give in to our bodily needs?
但是对于我们来说，我们是不是常常都是，被身体的欲望所引导的呢？
On the contrary, we saw that Jesus actually disciplined his body so that his body would serve God's purpose and not become a tool for Satan to tempt him.
那耶稣给我们看到的榜样就是他，常常的去锻炼自己的身体跟意志，好使到他的身体不会成为撒旦可以利用的工具去试探他，而是使身体能够成为一个工具去行神的旨意。
It was more important for Jesus to obey God than to have all the food he can have.
对于耶稣更重要的是，去顺服神的旨意，比起，拥有，所有的食物更加的重要。
The reason I try to recap this section is for us to also call to mind what happened at the beginning of time in the Garden of Eden.
所以我帮助大家回顾，第一个试探的原因就是想带大家去想起在伊甸园的时候。
Remembered Adam and Eve actually faced a similar temptation appealing to their physical needs.
记得亚当跟夏娃当时也面对一个类似的试探，就是有一个，很诱惑他们，就是肉体欲望的一个，试探。
And yet, they chose to give in to their desire, and they ate the fruit rather than obeying God's word.
但是他们就被他们的欲望所控制， 啊，然后他们就背逆神去吃了啊不应该吃的这个果实。
So Jesus being our representative of the new humanity, is different from the first Adam.
但是主耶稣基督作为新人类的代表是跟首先的亚当是不同的。
And Satan, seeing that Jesus didn't fall for his first temptation, quickly moved on to launch a second temptation.
那在魔鬼撒旦看见耶稣没有落入他第一个试探之后呢，他就马上去用第二个试探去对付耶稣。
This time the attack is much more sophisticated.
那这一次这个攻击就是比较复杂了。
Because if Jesus wasn't tempted in terms of physical desires, how about spiritual?
那原因就是，那既然耶稣不被肉体的欲望去作为试探可以攻击得到，那换一个属灵的试探又如何呢？
So let us read today's text taken from Matthew chapter 4 verses 5 to 7.
让我们来看今天我们看的经文在马太福音四章的五到七节。
Matthew chapter 4 verses 5 to 7. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, If you are the son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you.And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, Again it is written, You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.
在马太福音的四章五到七节，魔鬼就带他进了圣城，叫他站在殿顶上，对他说，你若是神的儿子，可以跳下去，因为经上记着说，主要为你吩咐他的使者，用手托着你，免得你的脚碰在石头上。耶稣对他说，经文又记载说，不可试探主你的神。
What is interesting here is that in this second temptation, Satan himself quotes scripture in making the appeal.
那引起我们留意的就是在这个第二个试探，魔鬼他自己去引用了圣经的一段话。
Satan knows the Bible really well.
那撒旦他是熟悉圣经的。
Better than most of us, I believe.
那我相信可能比我们在座的都还要熟悉。
The problem is he never plans or intends to do it.
但是问题就是他从来不想去按着上面所写的行。
But as we can see, he certainly can quote very well.
但是我们在这里看到他确实能够很熟悉的去引用圣经。
Now remember Jesus used scripture to fight against his first temptation.
那大家还记得在第一个试探里面耶稣他是用主的话语 去防守这个撒旦的攻击。
So Satan too starts using the scripture.
那在这里撒旦也引用了圣经。
And we can almost imagine Satan thinking to himself, Well, very well, Jesus, you just quoted scripture in resisting my temptation, and you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of Yahweh.
那大家可以想象撒旦他对自己说那既然耶稣就用神的话语去抵挡我的试探，他说人活着不是单靠食物，乃是靠亚伟口里所出的一切话。
So let's see how far you would go in terms of living by the scripture.
那让我们看看耶稣他去靠着神的话语而活会去到哪一个程度呢？
Now, Satan took Jesus to stand right here on the pinnacle, that means the highest point of the Holy Temple in Jerusalem.
那在这里我们看到撒旦就带耶稣去到这个圣殿的最高处在耶路撒冷的圣殿的最高处。
And Satan quoting Psalm 91 verses 11 to 12 puts forth a challenge for Jesus to jump down.
那撒旦就引用诗篇的九十一篇十一到十二节，他就挑战耶稣去再从这个最高点圣殿的最高点跳下去。
He says, "Since you are the Son of God, the beloved and chosen one by God, now throw yourself down from this temple and show your perfect trust in God."
那他就对耶稣说既然你是神所深爱的这个神的儿子，那为什么？不将你自己就是跳下去，将你自己完全的交给神。
Didn't God promise in this psalm that he will give his angels charge over you?
那神岂不是在诗篇这里说他要吩咐他的使者那
And the angels will, you know, bear you up and not let your foot strike against a stone.
他们要用手托着你，免得你的脚碰在石头上。
You won't get hurt, Jesus.
你当然不会受伤。
God is with you. He will protect you wherever you go.
神与你同在，他不论你在哪里都会保护你。
So we see that this second temptation had to do with trusting God.
所以我们看到这个第二个试探是跟信靠神是有关联的。
And it's important to note that Satan has deliberately quoted a psalm of trust.
所以我们要特别留意到撒旦特别去选用了诗篇的一节经文是关于信靠神的。
It's a psalm that tells of how God protects and watch over his people.
那其实这一篇的诗篇都是在说神怎样去保守那些信靠他的人。
But it was never intended to be applied when taken out of context.
但是我们留意的就是这一段经文呢就不应该去断章取义的去看。
And this is exactly where it gets tricky.
那这就是这个微妙的地方了。
The devil accurately quoted scripture.
那魔鬼就很准确的去引用了一节的经文。
But only partially.
但是他只是部分的去用这个经文。
And out of context.
也是断章取义的去引用这个经文。
If you study the whole psalm, Psalm 91, you'll notice it's actually addressed to those people who dwell in the secret place of the Most High, as it says in the first verse.
如果我们仔细去查考这个诗篇的91篇，就会发现这些话是对那些住在神隐秘处的这些的人说的。
That means it's for people who recognize God as the Most High One. They live in devotion and obedience to Him.
那这些人就是住在至高者的这个隐秘处，那他们也是完全的去顺服这个至高者，看神为这个最高的那一位。
So the promise of God's care is given to these people and not just for anyone who likes to misuse his word.
所以神所赐的应许是给这一类的人，而不是随便哪一个人都可以去使用的。
Now coming back to the temptation, Satan wants Jesus to do something spectacular to demonstrate that he is spiritually perfect.
那我们来看这个试探的时候，撒旦就挑战耶稣去叫他去行一些看起来非常奇异的一些的事情。
He's suggesting to Jesus, "Hey, now is the perfect opportunity to show how much you're devoted to God, to show your trust and total commitment to Him in your utmost capacity."
那他就挑战耶稣说，现在就是这个时刻了，要显出你对神完全的信靠跟信赖。
Why not prove that God is with you in a special way?
为什么不证明神是与你同在的呢？是用一个特别很神奇的方式去证明呢？
Just jump down from the temple in Jerusalem and let people see how you're borne up by the angels.
那在这个耶路撒冷圣殿的最高点，为什么不跳下去？那就使神的使者可以拖着你不受伤。
Imagine that, how glorious, how heroic it is.
那大家可以想象，如果耶稣这么做的时候是多么的荣耀多么的奇妙。
Is that how God intends for this verse to be applied?
但是这节经文是否是神最初的原意是这样子去应用的呢？
And is this act of jumping down from the temple spiritual?
那还有从圣殿的最高点跳下去这个是否是一个属灵的选择呢？
You see, many people are very fascinated and drawn by spectacular spiritual experiences or miraculous signs.
但我们也留意到好多人都被一些很神奇很奇妙的一些的经历去吸引。
Of course, we know that God still does miraculous things today.
当然我们知道神在今日仍可以行很多的不同的神迹奇事。
When he chooses to do so.
当他选择去这么做的时候。
But if our attention is to seek the spectacular in order to believe,
但是如果我们的想法是去得到一些很奇特、很神奇的经历，然后我们才信的话，
it is not true faith that comes from walking in the presence of God.
那这就不是真正的信心去与就是按着神的同在的引导去走。
It is not really fellowshipping with God as our King and our Father in our lives.
就不是与跟神的关系，就不好像是对待他是我们的王，我们在天上的父亲。
And this reminds us of the message we heard 2 weeks ago by Brother Stephen Cox.
那这也使到我们想起两周前我们听到Stephen 弟兄跟我们分享的这个信息。
He shared with us the interesting story of the rich man and poor Lazarus.
那他跟我们分享这个财主还有这可怜的拉撒路的比喻这个故事。
After Lazarus and the rich man both died, the rich man asked Abraham for Lazarus to be sent to his family to warn them. And he thought, okay, by sending Lazarus to see his brothers, they would believe and repent.
那在财主跟拉撒路都死了之后呢，那财主就对亚伯拉罕说，求你差拉撒路向我的弟兄去说话那他们见到拉撒路复活就一定会听，一定会悔改的。
Because they are seeing someone who was dead and came back to life to talk to them.
因为他们可以见到一个死人从死亡里复活，然后向他们说话。
But what was the response?
那他们就会相信，但是他得到回答是什么呢？
But Abraham said to him,If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, that means the scripture which they already had, they will not be convinced even if one rises from the dead.
但是亚伯拉罕对他说，如果他们连摩西和先知都不听，就算有人死而复活，他们也不会被说服。
How true that is.
那这个是非常的真实的。
Now coming back to the second temptation in Matthew chapter 4, how did Jesus respond to Satan's attack?
那我们回到马太福音四章这个第二个试探，那耶稣他是怎么样回应这个试探的呢？
In Matthew chapter 4 verse 7 it says, Jesus quotes from the scripture again, It is also written, You shall not put the Lord, Yahweh, your God, to the test.
那耶稣的回答是在四章的第七节，耶稣对他说，经上又记着说，不可试探主你的神。
And if you're familiar with the Old Testament, you will immediately recognize it's actually a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16.
那大家如果对旧约圣经熟悉的话，就知道这句话是引用《生命记》的六章十六节。
And the context of this verse from Deuteronomy refers to the episode recounted by the book of Exodus.
那这段经文的上文下里就是在说到在出埃及记里面所描述的他们当时的情况。
What happened then? The Israelites were quarreling with Moses about the lack of water.
那当时以色列民就和摩西有了争执是关于水的。
And they ended up murmuring against God and tested him by saying, Is Yahweh among us or not?
那最后的结果就是他们就去埋怨神，他们就说，到底亚伟神是否在我们当中呢？
Because they did not believe God could or would give them the water they wanted.
因为他们不相信神会赐给他们所急需的这个水。
So that was a bit of the background to this episode.
所以这节经文的背景是这样子的。
It's interesting to note that in all three temptations that Jesus faced, he quoted from the same book, from Deuteronomy.
大家要留意，那在耶稣面对这三个试探的时候，他所引用的经文都是出自于《生命记》。
The first time, as we saw last week, was from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3.
那第一个试探他所引用的是《生命记》的第八章第三节。
And this time, the second temptation, and the one we're going to look at next week, you'll find that Jesus is quoting from the same chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 6.
那今天我们看的第二个试探，还有下一周会看的第三个试探，我们会发现，耶稣都是引用《生命记》的第六章。
And it is a chapter in the law that is foundational to Israel's faith.
那这一章的经文对于以色列民来说是他们律法的这个根基。
It has the creedal statement that says, Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is our God, Yahweh is one, He alone.
那有这样的根基的这样的说法是
听啊以色列，
听啊以色列，亚伟是我们的神，亚伟是独一的。
And the chapter then goes on to exhort the people to obey Yahweh's commands.
那这一章经文呢，就去提醒亚伟神的子民去听从他的诫命。
To always choose to do what is good and right before God.
去选择去做在神眼中 看是好的，是正确的事情。
It also warns them not to test God.
那也去警告他们不要去试探神。
Because the moment an individual puts God to the test, it's evident that he or she does not really trust God.
原因就是当一个人尝试去试探神的时候，那就意味着这个人其实在心里面并不是信靠神的。
And usually when do we fall into such a situation? It's when our faith or trust is weak and wavering.
那什么时候一个人会落入这样的情况当中呢？就是当一个人他的信心是软弱的，或者是摇摆不定的。
So you seek a sign, something dramatic, to make your faith more steady, more steadfast.
所以就会去要求要看一个神迹好使到你的信心可以所谓的坚定。
But this is in stark contrast to Jesus' constant faith and obedience to God.
那这个对比耶稣基督他的榜样，他这个很稳定的对神的信靠是有很大的对比的。
So in response to Satan's temptation, Jesus said, Well, no, my trust is perfect. I don't need to do anything heroic to prove it.
所以耶稣对撒旦的试探的回答就是说到，我对神的信靠是完全的，我并不需要去做一些英雄式的一些的行动去证明我信靠神。
I know what God's promises are, and have absolutely no doubt about His faithfulness.
我对神的应许是完全的信靠，我并不去怀疑他的信实。
And so I will not test God by doing something foolish, like jumping down from the temple to see if the angels will protect me.
所以我就不会去试探神，就好像做这样一个愚昧的事情，从这个圣殿的最高处去跳下去，去看天使会不会来拖住我。
So we once again see that in Jesus, the beloved Son of God, our best example, this very quiet but confident, steadfast trust in Yahweh our Father.
所以再次我们看到耶稣，我们最好的榜样，这位神的爱子，给我们看到他对神的信靠是很稳固的。
But there's a problem with modern-day Christianity.
但是在现今的基督教有一个问题。
We've seen too many half-hearted Christians who on one hand want to claim all these beautiful promises of God in the Bible.
那我们看到有一些只是不是全然委身的基督徒，他们想要去应用神的应许。
And yet, on the other hand, they are not committed to knowing God's word or doing His will.
但是其实他们并不是完全的委身去认识神的旨意，或者去行神的旨意。
So what is the temptation?
所以这个试探是什么呢？
The temptation is to carry on doing their own things in their own ways, and yet expecting God to fulfill His promises nonetheless.
所以这个试探就是他们一方面想自己做自己想做的事情但是一方面又要求神去兑现他对他们的应许。
And this is easily achieved by twisting God's word a little and take it out of context to suit their own liking and purpose.
那所以他们怎么去做这个事情呢？就是将神的话语去断章取义的去看去调整，然后去合乎他们所想听的这个教导。
And there are many Christians or even Bible teachers who actually would elaborate on a particular scripture based purely on their own wish, their desire, or their fears.
所以有不少的弟兄姐妹或者是教导圣经的牧者，他们会用自己的明白去或者自己的喜好去解释圣经。
That is very sad and very dangerous.
那这就是非常的危险，也是非常令人感到难过的。
There are of course also some people who fall into the temptation of testing God.
那有又有另一些的人，他们就跌入一些这个试探去试探神。
By putting themselves in an undesirable or dangerous situation.
就是刻意的将自己放在一个不理想或者是很危险的一个情况里面。
And yet they still hope that somehow they would experience the loving deliverance from God.
而同时间他们又期望能够经历到神很奇妙的这个保守跟拯救。
This is especially true when someone is already on the border of, you know, falling into temptation and yet keep lingering there instead of running away from temptation.
那对于那些快要落入试探，就是在试探边缘的这些徘徊的心里摇摆不定的人，对这一类的人来说是最危险很贴切的描述他们的情况。
Because they were probably taught that, oh, we are in the hands of our loving shepherd, Jesus, and he will never let us fall away.
因为他们可能听了这样的教导，就是我们是在我们爱我们的这个大牧人的手中，他从来不会让我们迷失。
But such understanding of false assurance is only based on a wrong teaching of, you know, taking out a verse out of context, as Pastor Joe already shared with us in his messages on Once Saved, Always Saved.
但是这样错误的保障其实是来自断章取义的去看圣经，好像之前梁牧师在他的信息里面讲到一次得救永远得救的这个信息有解释过。
So,we now see that this whole episode of the second temptation is really much more subtle and complicated than the one we saw last week.
所以我们看到这个第二个试探比起第一个试探是更加的隐晦更狡猾。
If you're not familiar with God's word, you are vulnerable to Satan's attack.
若你不熟悉神的话语，熟悉圣经，那么你对于神的对撒旦的试探就是很软弱的，很无助的。
So one very clear application that we can draw from this temptation is the necessity of learning scripture in its entirety.
所以我们可以从这段经文所学到的第一个应用就是我们必须要去全面的去明白神的话语。
Because only then can we discern God's will and to fulfill his plans.
那只有全面的去理解神的话语的时候，我们才可以分辨得到什么是神的旨意，而不会落入试探里。
Remember Jesus responded to the first temptation by quoting, "We live by every word, not just some of the words, but every word that comes out from the mouth of God."
还记得耶稣在第一个试探里面，他说他引用圣经说，人活着不是单靠食物，而是乃是靠神口里所出的一切话。留意一切话，而不是几句话。
So let us be very careful of any partial or superficial understanding or even misuse of God's word.
所以让我们小心，要非常小心一些只是片面的去明白神话语，去解释神话语的这些的教导。
Now this problem is actually more common than you might have thought.
但是这个问题可能是比我们想象的更加的普遍。
Christians often misunderstand or misquote a particular verse in the Bible.
那基督徒也往往去用这样断章取义的方式去引用圣经。
For example, for those of us who have completed basic training,
那举个例子，那对那些完成基本训练的弟兄姐妹们。
We have some idea and knowledge of some basic Bible tools, such as concordance.
那可能你们都学习怎么去应用一些圣经的工具，比如说汇编。
Or even for those who don't really know much about this, like at the end of some Bibles, you have like a very simple concordance, you know, listed under topics with many verses listed under different topics.
或者是对于不熟悉汇编的，那可能有一些人的圣经的后面有一些的索引这些有一些的题目，然后下面有 列出不同的经文。
So have you ever come across a time when you're feeling down or your friends are, you know, facing some difficulties and you need a verse of encouragement?
那不知道大家有没有遇过这样的情况，就是可能你现在的情况很糟糕，心情低落，或者是你的朋友可能在一个很糟的环境底下，你想找一些鼓励的经文。
So what do you do?
那你会怎么做呢？
You turn open the concordance or the index and, you know, just find a verse on a particular subject.
那可能你会打开这个汇编或者是索引去寻找某一个题目下所列出的经文。
So you read through the list of Bible verses and pick a favorite one.
那可能大家会看这些的经文，不同的经文，然后选一节。
And you start quoting away.
然后就开始引用这一节的经文。
You might write it on a greeting card or a bookmark for others.
那我们可能将这节经文放在书签或者是卡片上。
Well, I have to admit, when I was younger, I used to do that a lot.
那我也需要承认，当我还年轻的时候，也是这样子做，很多次。
And there are also times when we might hear some interesting interpretation of a particular Bible passage.
那有些时候我们也听到对于某节经文一个很有趣的解释。
It sounds new and fascinating.
那听起来很新，是没有听过的。
And sounds logical and right at the moment, in that moment.
那可能当时听起来是很合理。
But without taking time to study the verse more in context and in depth.
但是当时并没有很完整的去看上文下理。
We already accept it as fact.
那就但是我们很快就接受它作为是事实。
And even worse, we might start then passing this on to other people and spreading this wrong interpretation or application to others.
那可能我们甚至会将我们的理解对这样子去传播，去跟别人分享这样断章取义的明白。
So it's really time we learn from the example of the Jews in Berea in the book of Acts chapter 17 verse 11.
那或许我们可以从使徒行传、比利亚的这些的犹太人身上去学习。
In Acts chapter 17, it records that there are these Jews in Berea who were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so.
那《使徒行传》的17章11节那里记载，一些在比利亚的犹太人，是贤于帖撒罗尼迦的人，甘心领受这道，天天查考圣经，要晓得这道是与不是。
You see, they not only received God's word with great eagerness.
所以我们看到这群的人不单单是用一个热心去领受神的话。
When they go home, they actually examine the scriptures carefully in context to see if what the apostles' teaching were correct or not.
那他们回去之后还是很认真的去查看神的话语，要分辨去明白到底使徒们所教导的是正确的还是不是。
Now my question for you is, for us who have been coming to church and listening to sermon week after week.
所以我想问大家的是，对于我们每一周来听周天讲到的肢体还有朋友们。
Have you been studying the Bible diligently and in context?
那你是否很认真的去查考神的话语，也是按着上文下理去明白圣经的呢？
Do we even care what the Bible actually wants to say?
我们是否关心圣经里面想对我们说的是什么呢？
Or are we more concerned about getting a word of insight, inspiration just for that instant and neglecting whether it's actually used in accordance with its original meaning?
还是我们更在意的是在某些时刻得到那就是神话语的鼓励，但是又不去明白这样的理解是否是合乎圣经。
While Bible chapters and verses can be helpful in navigating the Bible, they actually did not exist in the original text in the Bible.
那圣经里面为我们的分章分节是很有用的，但是其实在原文圣经里面是没有这些的章节的分段的。
And they were added in only much later on for our convenience.
那这些章节的分段是在原文圣经有之后一段时间才加进去是让为了令我们使用起来方便。
Unfortunately, as with many good things, yes, there is convenience, but with it, there's also a side effect.
那就好像很多好的事情有好的一面也有副作用。
Now, the side effect is that people are tempted to just pull out a short phrase or single verse out of context.
那这个副作用就是好多人都喜欢抽一节经文是断章取义的去引用去解释。
We treat it as a single independent statement.
那就把它当作是一个独立的一句话去明白。
And because of that, it's a lot easier for people to make the Bible means what they want to say.
也因为如此呢，这样断章取义的去引用经文，就容易被人去用自己的想法、自己的喜好去解释圣经。
And how we love our Christian merchandise.
那我们也是很喜欢这些的这样的方式。
Christian merchandise, like all the products they sell at Christian bookstores, beautiful mugs and T-shirts and so on.
那我们也喜欢这些基督教的这些的礼品啦、书啊、卡片啊这些。
They're beautiful, aren't they? I've got several magnets on my fridge with Bible verses on it.
那这些基督教礼品都是很精美的。那我自己也有几块的这个在冰箱上的贴石。
But again, the danger is that people often just take that one verse and apply it as they like without any regard for its original context.
那问题就是好多人都喜欢就抽一节经文然后去不理会上文下理真正的含义就去用这一节经文。
And we particularly love those statements that are uplifting and that bring comfort to our hearts.
那我们很喜欢一类的经文就是读起来很舒服很鼓励的这一类的经文。
And let me show you a few examples to illustrate my point.
让我和大家分享几个例子。
Oh, sorry. One reassuring verse that's well-loved but often misused by Christians is found in Luke chapter 11, verse 9.
一个很受欢迎、很鼓舞人的一节经文，但是也是被人误用的经文，就是在路加福音的十一章九节。
And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you.
路加福音十一章九节，我又告诉你们，你们祈求就给你们，寻求就寻见，叩门就给你们开门。
Of course, this verse can also be found in this parallel passage, such as in the Gospel of Matthew.
那这节经文在福音书的平衡经文也同样可以找到。
But you see, many Christians or even teachers of the Word, especially those who propagate a prosperity gospel.
那不少的基督徒一些教导圣经的，特别是那些去教导财富福音的这些的圣经的教师。
They like to take this verse and reassure people. It doesn't matter what you ask.
他们很喜欢用这节经文去对他们的听众说不论你向神求什么。
Whether it's health or wealth or job promotion or even the spouse you've always wanted.
不论是你向神求的是健康、财富，或者是工作的升职，或者是妻子。
Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find.
你只要寻求就会寻见，祈求就给你们。
And many television preachers have actually built their own personal empire based on these false promises that.Claim that, you know, by obeying God, it will lead you to material prosperity and success.
那很多在电视上去布道的这些的牧者，他们用这一类的福音去为他们自己去招聚很多相信这样话的人。
Because people love to hear this.
因为人都很喜欢听这样内容的教导。
who doesn't want to follow God when God promises all, you know, promises to give us whatever we ask?
那谁不想跟从神呢？当神会给你任何你所祈求的事情。
But God never promised his follower an easy and comfortable life.
但是圣经里面神并没有应许给那些信靠他的人一个很舒适、很容易的生活。
Quite the contrary, just look at the example of Jesus in facing the temptation.
事实上是反过来的，只要看一看耶稣他怎样在旷野去面对魔鬼的试探。
Remember how he only just got baptized and was, you know, very, God was very pleased with him.
记得他当时候是刚刚过了洗礼，也听到神对他说他是非常喜悦他的。
And yet, the next moment, the Spirit led him to face this fierce spiritual battle.
但是在下一刻，神的灵就带领他去面对这样一场激烈的属灵征战。
So if we are serious about God's word and look at it in context, we'll find that Luke chapter 11 verse 9 is actually part of a much larger narrative.
如果我们对神的话语是认真的话，我们去看路加福音11章9节的上文下理的时候，就会发现那这节经文是在更广的一个内容里面去讲出来的。
And if you're interested, you can go home and read for yourself the whole chapter of Luke chapter 11.
那当然你有时间有机会可以回家自己去看这一章的经文。
And you will find that actually in the preceding verses, Jesus already told us what to ask for.
你会发现在这一节经文之前呢，耶稣已经教导门徒应该向天父求什么。
In teaching his disciples how to pray, the Lord's Prayer already lists out many aspects that we should be asking for.
那耶稣教导门徒去祷告，在他主导文里面已经有好多方面耶稣去教导门徒应该向神祈求的是什么。
So it's not really up to us to say, oh, you know, just ask for anything you want and, you know, it will be given to you.
所以不是我们随意向神祈求什么，那他就会给我们什么。
Remember, following God is not a guarantee that everything will go well for us.
记得跟从神不是一个保证，就是之后你的生活就是会一帆风顺。
So another similar situation is with Romans chapter 8 verse 28.
那另外一个例子就是在罗马书的八章二十八节。
It's actually one of my favorite verses.
那这节经文也是其中我很喜欢的经文。
And I have used it many times to encourage myself and other people.
那过去我也曾经使用这节经文去鼓励我自己还有不同的人。
But thankfully, I did pay attention to every single word of this verse.
但我感谢神的就是我也很留意的去明白这一节的经文。
Let us read together Romans chapter 8 verse 28.
让我们来看罗马书八章二十八节。
And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose.
我们晓得万事都互相效力，叫爱神的人得益处，就是按他旨意被招的人。
Isn't it comforting to know that all things work for good, even when things seem terrible, you know, things went wrong, we know there's going to be a good result.
那听起来不是挺好的吗？就是不论是环境是多么的糟，那万事都会互相效力，那最终都会有好的果效。
But don't forget, when being true to the context of the verse, we can see that it's talking about those who love God.
但是如果我们要对上文下理去认真去准确的明白的时候，那这节经文是对那些爱神的人所说的。
So it doesn't apply to just anybody.
所以并不是任何人都可以去拿来去用。
There's a very important distinction and criterion here.
那有一个很特定、很特殊的一个条件在当中。
It's specifically for those who love God and are living according to His will.
就是给那些爱神的人，也是活在他的旨意当中的人。
The concern is to fulfill or let God's purpose be fulfilled in their lives.
那他们所关注的就是让神的旨意可以成就，也成就在他们的生命里。
If you are such a person, then yes, even if something bad happen to you, hold fast to God's promise, and you know that God will bring something good out of it.
若是 你是这一类的人，那 确实这一节的经文，这个应许、是给你的。那不论发生的什么事情，都会知道神的旨意，神的美意会、成就。
But by the word good, Paul didn't say, oh, that means God is going to turn your circumstance around and everything is going to be okay. Not necessary like that.
但是说到好的结果，并不是意味着保罗并不是说就会按着你所想象的就会成就。
Neither did he say it's going to be all smooth and comfortable and easy afterwards.
那他也没有说、这个过程会是很顺的、就是很舒适的。
But by good, it means God's good purpose will be fulfilled. Something of spiritual value will definitely be fulfilled through things both good and bad.
那这里所说的神的美意，就是谈到属灵的这个、宝贵的事情，会借着这些事情去成就。
So hopefully through these two simple examples, we can see how dangerous it is to just take a single verse out of context and to use it however we like.
我希望借着这两个例子可以帮助大家去留意到、去断章取义引用经文的这个危险。
There is indeed great harm in misunderstanding or misusing、the promises in the Bible.
那随意的或者是、不按上文下理去解释神的话语，这样的做法是会带来伤害的。
Because first, you might give the other person or yourself a false hope or understanding of what God intends for you.
原因就是首先会给你自己或你所鼓励的人带来一个错误的盼望、
mm-hmm.
而不是合乎神的心意。
Or a false expectation.
或是、错误的期望。
And when that verse doesn't seem to come to fruition, then they either blame God or they think,God doesn't love them.
而当这错误的理解没有成就在这个人身上的时候，那他们就会埋怨神。
Or even worse, they would just think God doesn't exist.
或者他们会觉得啊，神都不是真实的。
So hopefully through today's detailed look at the second temptation, we would be reminded of the following points.
所以希望透过我们详细看、耶稣所遇到的第二个试探，我们可以留意到以下的几点。
It's very important for us to trust and have total commitment in God, to God.
我们对神完全的信靠，完全的委身是非常重要的。
But remember, do not test God by yielding to our heroic impulses.
但是要意识到不要、去试探神，就是借着一些看起来很英雄式的一些的委身去试探神。
Our trust is not demonstrated by some spectacular heroic acts.
那我们对神完全的信靠，并不是用一些英雄式的行动去证明出来。
True faith is built up by constant devotion and obedience to God.
那真正的信心就是时时刻刻的稳定的去、信靠神，对他忠心。
And where does this quiet, confident trust in God come from?
那这样子安静信靠的态度是怎么来的呢？
It only comes from constant fellowship with Him as the Most High, the one who is most important, who is supreme in our lives.
那这样的安静信靠是来自于时时刻刻去与这个至高者去交流、去亲近他。
And if you truly honor him as the most important in your life, then you would take his word seriously.
如果在你生活中你把神当作是那一位最至高者，那神一定会去、尊重你，看重你。
Sorry, we would take his word seriously.
Oh, sorry. 那我们就会很认真的去明白他的话语。
We would dare not take his word without reverence and use it however we want.
那如果我们是把神放在至高的位置，那我们就不会轻易的去、随意的去断章取义的引用神的话语。
So we see that one of Satan's most often used tactics is to present to us partial truth or to misguide us by twisting God's word.
所以我们看到撒旦他第二个试探常用的手段就是断章取义的去引用经文去迷惑我们，
或者误导我们，
或者是误导我们。
And it's important for us not only to feed on God's word, like what was mentioned last week.
那我们留意到，不单单我们要去靠着神的话语去而活，好像上一周我们学习到的。
It's also important to use our mind and our whole being to really understand the whole counsel of God.
那同时间，我们也要全面的运用我们的心思意念去全面的理解神的话语。
So we don't just come to church for some comforting words or a few words of inspiration.
好，使到我们来到教会不是单单为了一节或者是一段鼓励触动我们的这一段的经文。
But we truly desire to understand the whole plan of God, His will for us.
但是我们的愿望就是全面的去明白神的旨意他对人的心意。
So that we can live accordingly.
好，使到我们可以生活中按照他的旨意而活。
But in order to do that, we need to delight in the whole counsel of God.
那要这么做呢，首先我们必须是喜悦神的指引的一个人。
And not always focus on those particular passages or a few books that we prefer, we like.
而不是单单挑选圣经的几卷书或者是我们喜欢的经文去看。
And this is hard work. It requires careful study of the scripture.
那全面的去明白圣经是需要花很多的努力跟功夫的。
So next time we come to church, or when we go to Bible study, or even in your own quiet time when we face God's word.
所以下一次当我们来到星期天去敬拜神听讲道，或者是去到查经班，或者是在你的安静的时间。
Yes, let us first thank Him for His life-giving word.
让我们首先向神感恩，因为他赐给我们这个得生命的话语。
But let us also have a fear for God and to handle His word with utmost mindfulness and careful, like not just being careless with how we understand His word.
那我们也用一个敬畏的态度去对待他的话语，不会随意的去断章取义的去明白，按着我们的喜好去明白神的话语。
So this is what I want to share with you through looking at the second temptation of Jesus.
这是我想跟大家分享关于耶稣面对的第二个试探。
And may I invite Albert to close in prayer?
那我邀请 Albert 为我们做一个结束的祷告。